Chapter 5, and stick your finger there and then just hang on. We're going to go there in a minute. 1 Thessalonians 5. This Thursday, our nation celebrates Thanksgiving. I really like Thanksgiving because it's the least commercialized of all the national holidays. You know, the stores cash in on Halloween, Christmas, Valentine's Day, and Easter, but there's not much of a Thanksgiving windfall for retailers. As a result, we don't suffer from Thanksgiving overkill. You know, we're not expected to buy Thanksgiving candy and send Thanksgiving cards and pass on Thanksgiving gifts. And I think that Thanksgiving is probably the most biblically based holiday that we celebrate in America. Because having a thankful heart is something that the Lord requires of each and every one of us. Maybe a trivia question here. Anybody know what was the number one country song last week? No, wrong. Phil Vassar, Another Day in Paradise. This is my favorite country song because its message that it portrays is so completely biblical. It expresses an attitude I think that every one of us are to have. Let me read to you some of the lyrics, and then we'll talk about them. The song goes, and I'm going to try not to break into song as I read these, okay? For your benefit, I will try not to sing. It says, the kids screaming, phone ringing, dog barking at the mailman, bringing that stack of bills, overdue. Good morning, baby, how are you? Got a half hour, quick shower, take a drink of the milk, but the milk's gone sour. My funny face makes you laugh, twist the top and I put it back. There goes the washing machine, honey, don't kick it, I promise I'll fix it. Long about a million other things. Friday, you're late. Guess we'll never make our dinner date at the restaurant. You start to cry. Baby, we'll just improvise. Well, plan B looks like Domino's pizza in the candlelight. Yeah, it's okay. It's so nice. It's just another day in paradise. Well, there's no place I'd rather be. Well, it's two hearts and one dream. I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I ask the Lord every night for just another day in paradise. I love that song, and I find myself singing it over and over because it's such a biblical attitude. We got problems all around us. The kids screaming, the mailman's bringing bills, things are breaking, but he says, I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I ask the Lord every night for just another day in paradise. Do you thank the Lord every day for another day in paradise? You will if you have a thankful heart. And if you're not thankful, you're in sin. It's kind of simple. Because we are commanded by the Lord to be thankful. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. One verse. Very comprehensive. It says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And everything in the Greek, en pante, has the idea of being in connection with everything that occurs in life, no matter what it is. We're called to be thankful. Two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted towards the nearest fence, and the storming bull followed in hot pursuit. And it was soon apparent that they weren't going to make it. Terrified, the one shouted to the other, put up a prayer, John. We're in for it. John answered, I can't. I never made a public prayer in my life. But you must, implored his companion. The bull's catching up to us. All right, panted John. I'll say the only prayer I know, the one my father used to repeat every night at the dinner table. Oh, Lord, for what we were about to receive, make us thankful. What a prayer. A prayer we all should be praying. Oh, Lord, for what we are about to receive, whatever it is, make us thankful. When in doubt, folks, give thanks. No matter what the situation, give thanks. When everything seems to be pointing in the opposite direction, give thanks. When it feels life has you on the horns, give thanks. Now, just in case you aren't living in compliance with this command in Thessalonians, let me give you some suggestions to help you be a more thankful person. two suggestions. I want to look at some things that keep us from being thankful. First of all, acknowledge that God is the source of all good things in your life. Acknowledge that God is the source of all good things. James puts it this way, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. In other words, everything we get comes from the good hand of God. All the good things you have in your life, you can thank God for. Not just the spiritual blessings, so to speak, but the material blessings, the sociological blessings, the relational blessings. Every good thing in your life is a gift from God. Now, if you need help recognizing God's goodness in every single detail of your life, try this. From the time you wake up in the morning until the time you go to work or start work, ladies, if you're working at home, try finding at least 100 things that you can say thank you to God for. That's before you go to work. Now, just in case you doubt that you could find 100 things, let me give you a few. When you wake up, you can thank God that you slept. Some people don't get to sleep. You could thank Him that you slept on a bed with a pillow for your head and a blanket to keep you warm. You can thank God that you slept under a roof and not under the elements. You know, there's people sleeping in cardboard boxes. There's people who don't have homes. You could thank God that you have an alarm clock that wakes you up on time so you can keep a job that you might have. You could thank God that you have electricity to light your house and to heat your home. You can thank God that you don't live in a war zone where you have to fear for your life or the life of your family. You can thank God that you have running water. When's the last time you thank God for that? A refrigerator that keeps your food cold. A stove to cook your food. You can thank God you have a toothbrush and toothpaste and deodorant, or you might not have any friends. You can thank God for your soap, your shampoo, your shower, your indoor plumbing. You get the idea? There's a million things you can thank God for. These are things we typically take for granted, but there's no question about it. They make our lives better, and we ought to be thankful for them. They're God's good gifts to us. As we go through each day, literally thousands of things come across our path that we can be thankful to God for. We can thank God for a song that we enjoy listening to. We can thank Him for a writer that we enjoy reading, a restaurant we enjoy eating at, a park we enjoy visiting. We can be thankful for all these things. And I haven't even gotten to the big stuff, like our salvation, our spouse, our children, our parents, our friends, our job, and on and on and on. There are thousands of things that you enjoy that benefit you on a daily basis, and they're all gifts from God. That helicopter's coming in again. It came in the first service. It'll land shortly and it'll shut off, all right? So try to ignore that noise. Let me ask you this. When is the last time that you thank God that you live in America? You know, we've come a long way since our beginning days. Peter Marshall and David Manuel's book, The Light and the Glory, tells how the pilgrims at Plymouth Rock endured extreme heartache as they landed in America. 3 long months at sea aboard the Mayflower in a brutal winter left them wore out, hungry, and vulnerable to disease. They had already witnessed the deaths of many of those whom they loved. But during the first 4 months after they landed, they saw nearly half of their band of pioneers die because of harsh conditions. The pilgrims' daily existence was a life of struggle. The only barrier they had between themselves and the harsh New England weather was makeshift homes made out of dried mud. And because they were not yet knowledgeable about the new environment's agriculture, planting gardens in the hostile conditions proved virtually fruitless. Every meal was measured out meticulously. The deaths of their friends and their family members were a constant reminder of their vulnerability. At one point, only 5 men were well enough to take care of the sick. Despite their hardships, the pilgrims thanked God every day and asked for strength that they might endure. Now, can you imagine if you lived under the circumstances that they existed in early America? Could you have thanked God every day? It's amazing to me that Christians today have a hard time thanking God every day for what they have. And yet here's these people suffering and thanking God that they have what they have. You know, our focus can't be on what we don't have or who has it better than we do. Our focus must be on the good things we have in our lives, because every good thing in life is a gift of God. Secondly, we need to recognize God's blessing in our life. Take your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 100. Recognize God's blessings in your life. Psalm 100, verse 1. It says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good." Thank you, Lord. "His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endures to all generations." See, we can thank you for no hum. We can be thankful for no hum. We have a lot of things to be thankful for. Now, David wrote Psalm 100, and it's interesting that David had this perspective. He's thanking God. "For the Lord is good," he said. "His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." You know, if David wanted to, he could have complained about his lot in life. David could have appeared on Oprah or Maury Povich, and he could have talked about how horrible his life had been. And he could have said, "I was a redheaded kid in my family. You know, my brothers, they all picked on me. They had no respect for me. When I was a teenager, I was forced into battle with a vicious giant. I even had to pick up my own rocks from the battlefield. I shouldn't have had to fight that battle. The government let me down. They should have protected me. And then the king tried to kill me. So I spent years on the run, and my best friend was taken away from me. And then this woman, this temptress, she seduced me and enticed me to commit murder." Now, I know that's not exactly how it happened, but if David was inclined to complain, he probably could have been inclined to place blame also. David could have ended his saga by saying this: "My family's a mess. My four-month-old child born of Bathsheba has died. My son Amnon raped my daughter Tamar. My son Absalom murdered my son Amnon. And my own son Absalom rebelled against me and tried to kill me. He tried to take my own life. And finally, Absalom, my dear son, was killed. My family has been torn apart. Woe is me. I've had a miserable life." All those things happened in David's life. But many other things happened too. Good things, pleasant things. And those were the things that David chose to focus on. Where's your focus? Is it on the one thing you don't have that you wish you did? Or are you thanking God every day for just another day in paradise? It's amazing what He's given to us. Anyone's life can be a tale of tragedy or a tale of victory. It depends on which story you want to tell. It depends on what you want to focus on. You see, you can look at the things that you don't have and all the disadvantage you have been thrust upon you, and that kind of thinking leads to misery. Instead, look at the areas of your life where God has so richly blessed you and be thankful for what God has given to you. You know, I have a hard time understanding a thankless Christian. In light of what the Lord has done for us, too many Christians today are characterized by fussing and fuming, disappointment and depression, grumbling and complaining about every little thing in their life that doesn't go right. And that's really a disgusting sin to God. Do you know that God hates grumbling? That He hates murmuring and complaining? Do you realize that? Look at Numbers chapter 14. That'd be in the Old Testament. Numbers 14. You know, folks, we can all find things to complain about, but again, it's a matter of where we put our focus. There's another country song out there done by Craig Morgan. It's called Paradise, and he's talking about his army days. And one of the lines he sings in the song says, "If you've been where I've been, any kind of life is paradise." And he's just trying to say, look, I've had to kill people. I've seen death. I've seen war. He's talking about the Gulf War, and he says, "If you've been where I've been, any kind of life is paradise." I wish we could realize that. Look at Numbers 14:27. It says, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard their complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. Of all of you who numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above. So this whole generation from 20 years old up died in the wilderness. Why? Because of complaining. A couple of million people died because they were murmuring and griping about their situation. If Israel's complaining angered God, how does he feel about 21st century American Christians complaining? Complaining seems to have become the great American pastime. We gripe about everything. And it's interesting that the most indulged society is the most discontent society. The more we have, the more we seem to be discontent with what we have, and the more complaining we seem to do. In 1 Corinthians 10:10-11, it says, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Israel's history is to be an example that we're to learn from. They griped, they murmured, and God killed them. This is how he feels about murmuring and complaining. Listen, folks, God controls our circumstances, so all murmuring, all complaining is directed against God. I hope you see how serious a sin complaining is. Our attitude should be one of profound thanksgiving. And how often this kind of attitude is missing in the age in which we have so much. So much, but not enough to be thankful. At the time of the potato harvest, the disgruntled farmer enjoyed a bumper crop. Wanting to strike a more cheerful note, the minister suggested, brother, I understand you had a tremendous season with potatoes this year. That certainly must be cause for rejoicing. Well, the chronic complainer never even smiled, but sourly responded, yes, it's true. The harvest was good enough. My problem is, I don't have any bad potatoes to feed my pigs. You know, that reminds me of the time that I've complained because my freezer was too full. Or there were too many clothes in my closet. A thankful heart is not only a virtue, it's the parent of all virtues. And the real tragedy is that the art of grumbling has almost been perfected by God's people. My experience has been that some of the best grumblers, some of the most discontent folks are the people in the church. We who have had the veil pulled back and have experienced the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough that he saved us. It's not enough that he freed us from the penalty of sin and set his purposes before us. We still want more. There was a brother who joined a monastery because he wanted to serve God with all his heart and learn more and more of God's ways. One of the rules of the group was that you were only allowed to speak two words every 10 years. At the end of the 10 years, he said, bad food. 10 more years went by and he said, hard bed. Finally, on his 30th anniversary with the brothers, he went to one of the leaders of the monastery to speak his two words. When he entered the room, he looked at the elderly monk and he said, I quit. The priest in charge says, well, you might as well quit. All you've done is complain. You know, I know many grumblers. As a matter of fact, I've been a member of that club. But I never want anyone who expressed a desire to grumble. We just do it. You know, we don't really want to be grumblers. We just do it. We're ungrateful for what God has done in our lives, and we grumble about everything that we think is wrong with our lives. God must be very disappointed in the people who are discontent and unsatisfied and unhappy and don't like their circumstances, and don't like this, and don't like that, and they want to change everything around them, instead of being overwhelmed with gratitude for God's grace. Folks, God wants us, listen, he wants us to be thankful. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. A couple more exhortations from the Word of God to thankfulness. Ephesians 5 and verse 3, it says, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you. And he's dealing here with sexual sin. We're to depart from any type of sexual sin whatsoever. He says, as is fitting for saints. And then in verse 4, he says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Wow, those things are really far apart. He's saying, watch your mouth. Don't let this filthy stuff come out. Over here, he says, give thanks. In other words, whenever you open your mouth, give thanks. That's what should be coming out of there. Thanksgiving. Drop down to Ephesians 5:20. It says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks for all things, he says. We should be thanking God for all the blessings he has poured out upon us. Thanks should come out of our mouths just about every time that we open them. Colossians 2:6 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And then in Colossians 3:15 he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful. You know, Paul didn't just preach this, he lived it. Paul was always thankful. You know, the most messed up church in the New Testament was what? Corinth. If it could be done wrong, they did it wrong. They were suing each other. They had all kinds of sexual sin going on in the church. It was an absolute mess. And Paul said this when he wrote to them, I thank my God always concerning you. And you say, Paul, what do you thank God for the Corinthians for? They were messed up. Well, he thanked God that they were saved. He thanked them that they were children of God. He was thankful even though this church was breaking his heart. He was still thankful for them. If you have trouble being thankful, let me give you several reasons why that may be. First of all, it may be that you doubt God's sovereign power. Or let's say you have doubts about God's character. You know, if you don't think God is really in charge, if you're ignorant about that or if you don't believe it, if you're not sure God is really all wise, if you're not sure He knows everything about everything, if you're not sure He really loves you as His own, if you're not sure He really has your best interest in mind, if you don't understand your God and His purposes, then you may not be thankful. Or it may be that you do understand them, but you tend to forget them. Why not be thankful for anything if you know God's power is at work in it, if you know God's wisdom is at work in it, God's purpose is at work in it, God's love is expressed through it? But if you don't know that, you're going to have a problem being thankful. Another thing that may be the cause of hindering thanksgiving is selfishness. I know that's hard to believe anyone could suffer from that here, but just in case, you probably have a friend you can share that with. Selfishness. It's the attitude that says, no matter what I've got, I don't have what I really want. I don't have enough. I want more. My will is more important than God's will. I don't know what God has for me, but I know what I want, and He better deliver it. You know, that will really destroy gratitude. It's the idea, I want my circumstances different. I want my children different. I want my life different. I want my ministry different. I want my spouse different. I want my job different. A lot of things we have in life, I want them different. I'm not happy with anything I have. If that's what drives you, and you set your own agenda, then you're going to have trouble being thankful. On the other hand, if you say, I only want what God wants for me, I believe that God will give me what's best. He'll give me what He wants me to have, and I'm just thankful for everything I have. Another thing that may cause hindering thanksgiving is looking for pleasures in all the wrong places. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. If you're into the pleasures and the people and the places and the possessions and the pursuits and the popularity and the prestige, and you just want all the stuff that the world says makes people satisfied and happy, you're going to have trouble being thankful because you're never going to have all that stuff. And when you get some of it, you won't have enough. Folks, true joy, true pleasure only comes from a relationship with God. And so if you're seeking it somewhere else, you're never going to be thankful because you're never going to get what you want. You know, if anyone knows the potential of more to satisfy, then it would have to be Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders has been known for a long time for his extravagant lifestyle, his huge paychecks, and his passion for the finer things in life. In his book, Power, Money, and Sex, Sanders writes, if you have money without a proper focus, you'll never be satisfied. I found that out. And whenever I give my testimony, I tell people what I discovered in my own life. If you have $5, you want six. If you have 10, you want 20. That's just human nature. No matter how much you have, you're not satisfied. If you have $5,000, you want $10,000. You always want more than you've got. More money, more money, more money. He said that's why people on Wall Street are going crazy all the time. All they can think about day and night is how they can get more money. When are you going to be satisfied with what you have, he asked. The answer is never. Unless you have God in your life, unless He gives you the capacity to put it in proper perspective, you will never find peace with money. First, you've got to have peace with God, and then with yourself. You know, it's really hard to be thankful when you're looking for the pleasures in all the wrong places. One more thing I think that will really cause hindering of thanksgiving in our lives, and that's a critical spirit. A critical spirit. If you're bitter or negative, if you just kind of have a sour attitude on life, and you know how you get that? You get that by having unrealistic expectations of what you really deserve. You get that because you think you ought to control everything, and there's some things you just can't control, and that bothers you. Don't let yourself be critical for 2 days in a row, or 2 hours in a row, or 2 half hours in a row. Don't build that kind of habit. It's unchecked, and it will smash a thankful heart into bits. A critical heart will destroy a thankful heart. There's no way the two can coexist. You know, ingratitude destroys relationships. It destroys families, and it will destroy a church. You want to have a church full of joy where people love each other and the church grows and flourishes, then have a church full of thankful people. And if you want a really messed up party, just bring in someone who's a negative attitude and very unthankful. It'll ruin your party in a minute. Not long ago, famous people all over the world were polled by a magazine which asked them this question. If you could be granted one wish that will come true right now, what would it be? There were some very interesting responses, but one response impressed the magazine's editors so much that they commented on it. And the response was this. I wish that I could be given an even greater ability to appreciate all that I already have. That's an interesting thing to wish for. What do you think would happen if each one of us suddenly became a more grateful, thankful person? If all of a sudden we became more appreciative of what God has given us, we'd be thanking God every day for just another day in paradise. Let me ask you a few questions. You can try to determine your place on the scale of thanksgiving. Now, these may hurt if you're honest with yourself, but hopefully through the pain brought on by the truth, you'll see the deep need that you have and be able to make some corrections. Would your family and friends describe you as a person overflowing with gratitude or as a grumbler? Dare you ask them? Does your family and coworkers see a thankful heart being formed in you, or do they see a heart growing harder and harder each day? Do you take time every day to stop and thank God for the little graces that make life so full? Do you feel like life has dealt you a bad hand, or do you see His hand carrying you through? One more question. Do you spend more time talking to God, thanking Him, or telling your friends how bad you've got it? These are important questions for all of us if we're going to be honest with God. It's only by getting honest with God that He can then begin to form a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving within us. Sir John Templeton, the billionaire investor, was once asked, "What is the secret of wealth?" And he said this, "Gratitude. If you're not grateful," he says, "you're not rich, no matter how much you have." And the flip side of that is this, if you're grateful, you're rich, no matter how little you have. So today, your life can become rich if you choose to be thankful for all you have. And begin to thank God for just another day in paradise. Yeah, life's full of troubles. There's difficulty. There's problems. Things break. There's interpersonal struggles. There's all kinds of things. But you know what? Look at all the blessings you got. Where do you put your focus? Life is a matter of focus. You can choose to focus on every little wrong thing that happens to you. You can become a negative, griping, whining person that no one wants to be around. or you can choose to be grateful for everything you have. And I'll tell you what, if you choose that way, your life's going to be a whole lot better. God has so richly blessed us as Americans. You know, we're going to sit down Thursday. We're going to overindulge. We're going to eat till we're sick. And then we're going to complain about something, the food that we ate was just wasn't right. And there's people around this country who don't have food, who are starving to death. And it's just, I mean, we're Americans and we're Christians. And if you're an American Christian, then, you know, you don't get any more blessed than that. We need to learn to be thankful for all that we have. Let's pray. I want the praise team to come up here as we pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to worship you, Lord, through the study of your word. Lord, I pray that you would minister to our hearts this morning, Lord, in the area of gratitude, in the area of thankfulness. Lord, we are all rich. We have so much, Father. I pray you'd help us to learn to appreciate all that you've given to us, and that we might be a people that overflow with gratitude, that overflow with thanksgiving, that every time we open our mouth, we're expressing our appreciation for your wonderful love toward us and all that you've given us. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died to redeem us to himself. We thank you, Father, that we have a home in heaven. We will dwell in eternity in your presence. And everything else is just extras, Lord. It's all grace. You provide our food. You give us shelter. You give us friends. You give us a church. Thank you, God. Thank you for this nation. Thank you for the freedoms we enjoy. May we never take it for granted. God, convict our hearts of our grumbling, complaining attitudes and make us a people of praise, a people of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.